Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And this is the first week of the Olympics, sort of wrapping up the Olympics in Sydney. The Olympics, it was something that we all used to rush home to turn on and watch. It was something that we all used to follow, a drama that we would follow, if you will. I remember the 76 games in Montreal. It was little, what's-her-face, Nadia Comaneci. And, of course, 80, we boycotted. 84, the L.A. Games was exciting. And before that, there was 72, Munich. What a story. 68 in Mexico City with the black fists of John Carlos and Tommy Smith. But the Olympics these days seem not to be viewed by too many people. In Sydney, Australia right now is Carl Misla, who's an independent writer. He's a freelancer for a syndicate of British newspapers. Carl, the story in where you are. By the way, what time is it right now?
Well, right now it's about 7 minutes after 10 o'clock right now in Sydney, and a beautiful morning is dawning.
What is the story in Australia about the American athletes? It's obviously what we would be interested in.
Well, the story is that this is an Olympics that is really very, very well attended. There is a great deal of enthusiasm from Sydney, here in Sydney, for the Olympics. But the problem is the American athletes are not as the American athletes are suffering, I think, from a morale problem, because they know that they're not being viewed back in the States. They know that they're not really being supported.
And they know that they're not being supported by what? By way of...
Well, by way of the TV viewing that is not going on. And, of course, there's been all kinds of excuses for that.
But the American athletes are what? They're being told the ratings?
Well, there's a fair presence of American sports fans here, but there is not a support of the American people from home. They're not getting the cards or the letters. They're not getting the sort of outpouring, electronic or otherwise, of support from a home nation that most of the other athletes are getting. And to give you an example, the Chinese, the Russians, the Germans, a great deal of at-home support for those teams, but not from America right now. And the athletes feel it, and they know it.
What are the American athletes saying about it? So, in other words, they know that we're not watching on TV. They figure there is no support.
They believe there's no support. They believe it's dwindling support. The American basketball team the other night just got by Lithuania, and they were booed off the court.
I remember that game was like only a 10-point win.
It was a 9-point win. They got booed off the court. They know that they're in trouble, and I think it's beginning to show in their play because of the American team's very poor showing against Lithuania, a team that they should have handled very readily, and they will not be able to do that.
Are you saying the American basketball team played badly because this morale problem's affecting them as well?
I believe that they did. I believe that all the American athletes are beginning to contemplate tanking some of these events, as extreme as it sounds.
Now, when you say tanking, are you talking about just losing?
I think that a lot of them are contemplating it, and I'll tell you why. I spoke with a young swimmer by the name of Tony Deal. Tony's from New Mexico, who is not receiving the kind of support that he hoped that he would from his home state. Tony was very depressed. He is supposed to be in one of the final events yesterday. I didn't see his name show up. He said that I don't even feel like showing up, and he said he was just going to put in as sort of a stock performance. I think that these athletes are showing the world that they're not supported by the American people, so they're going to tank their events.
Well, when you say that an athlete is going to tank an event and makes it public that they're going to tank an event, that's a very serious charge. So I have to ask you again, are the American athletes saying to you they're going to lose on purpose? Or are they saying they're just so depressed, why put in much of an effort?
Well, it's most of the conversations about that. They're talking about the effort they put in up to this point, but that the American people are really so absolutely ungrateful for the effort that they've been putting in, that the American people are so absolutely almost lazy in their lack of embracing of the Olympic Games, that why should they put out for a people, a country, that is so disfigured, if you will, in its support of sport, that they would just as soon not turn in a performance.
Now, well, what about the old thing about winning for yourself?
Well, I was going to say, that's my point. Why not win for yourself? But a lot of these athletes are not that motivated that they would win for themselves. They want the big money dollar. They want the big money commercial deal. They want the big money when they return to the United States for their... And they're not going to get that if the American people are not behind them. They're not going to get the big, big money. I was talking with Tony Dealer, a swimmer. Tony said, I'd love to get the big, big money, the commercial money. I said, well, there goes your... And I was being sarcastic. I said, there goes your big, big money, Tony. You're not going to get your big money. So... The American people are not supporting them because they've had other things to do, and that's either understandable or not. But I can certainly tell you from Sydney here this morning, Phil, you've got a great deal of athletes who are very depressed, and they're very depressed that NBC got the contract. They don't think they're a very good network to cover the Olympics, and they're also now being mocked by the other athletes, and they're being made fun of by the other athletes. And so it's a very depressed American camp.
All right, we're talking with Carl Mizla. I had no idea that this was going on in Sydney, that the American athletes are depressed, that they are depressed, that they're not getting support, that they are...
Well, they're depressed from the standpoint. When you are so not getting the support that you wish that you could get, and...
But they're doing well in the medal count.
Yes, but that's not going to last. That's next week, the track and field, they're going to lose. And... I think it's just a matter.
So you think the Americans are going to lose in the medal count, eventually come home with their tail between their legs, having not gotten any support?
Having not gotten any support, exactly. And I will tell you again, they are being made fun of by the other athletes here. They are now the butt of practical jokes. The American swimmer, the Kazaberg boy, someone shoe polished his swim goggles and put some shoe polish around the rim of the swim goggles so that when he pulled them off, he had raccoon eyes.
You're kidding. Was this during an event? I mean, isn't that what athletes do to each other, though?
Well, you don't do it prior to a big event, though, Phil.
So it was prior to a big event?
It was prior to one of the, excuse me, one of the larger events. Someone, the American basketball players, had their bed short sheeted by two of the other teams. So they're not getting respect. And when you put shoe polish in a man's goggles and he pulls off the goggles to reveal that he has raccoon eyes... And looks for all the world like the laughing stock. It's bad. And
well, if the American athletes are being screwed with, and people are playing practical jokes, and they're depressed because they don't have the support, they can look at that medal count of 31, 11 golds. They can say to the rest of the world, "Go ahead and make fun of us."
But I tell you, it's not going to last. It's not going to last because the track and field events are coming up, and you know the Russians do well in that. You know the Germans are right around the corner. You know the Romanians are right around the corner. So it really, there's nothing that's going to happen next week that's good. And that's what I think they're more depressed about than anything. The American athletes next week are going to have their rear ends handed to them, and then they'll go home to America without the win in the medals, without the win in the gold medals. They'll have had their pants pulled down and their eyes blackened and their bed shorts sheeted and they'll have been pantsed and all kinds. And it's just depressing. And
what is this thing you said to me about how they're sorry NBC got the contract?
Well, it's been embarrassing, hasn't it? The NBC coverage has been embarrassing. And it's almost a disfigurement, if you will, of the Olympic coverage. It's a mutilated, it's the elephant man of Olympic coverage, mutilated and horrifically distorted, so that the Jim McKay, God rest his soul, if he's
Jim McKay's still alive.
All right. Well, if Jim McKay were dead, if he were dead, he'd be spinning in his grave. But right now, I suppose he's. He has his face thrust into his hands, and he's weeping uncontrollably.
All right. Carl Mizla is with us here. Some very pointed and maybe cynical views about the Olympics, and we're talking about the American athletes who are well aware of the fact that nobody's watching them at home, and apparently it's taken a toll in terms of morale because some of them are talking about tanking their events. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, or it's just a rumor. Carl's also saying that some of the athletes have been the subject of practical jokes, that they're being tripped on their way to the winner's circle, all kinds of things, because nobody's given them any respect. Now, I said that they've got a big medal count. He says that everybody over there figures it's going to be over next week when the track and field starts, that America's going down. And then this whole NBC thing. I didn't know. I'm not watching it. Maybe I ought to start, but even more so, maybe we ought to start writing them letters. Or maybe they got to stop watching the TV ratings from America. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Carl Mizla, independent freelance writer for a syndicate of UK newspapers, talking about the Olympics in Sydney so far being a very depressing experience for the American athletes. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. This is Phil Hendry, and with me is Carl Misla, who's a writer from the United Kingdom covering the Olympics for a variety of European newspapers. Essentially, we're asking you about the American team. We want to know how well things are going. You're saying that there is depression and morale problems in the ranks having to do with the Americans.
Well, you know, and a lot of this, is, Phil, has got to do with the fact that the American athletes are so used to getting big money commercial contracts when they return home from these Olympic Games, and they're not going to get that now, because no one's watching them, and no one cares, and they'll go home with their tail between their legs, hoping they'll get the big Wheaties box, and they'll not get their face on the Wheaties box, will they? And it's
you have this marvelous cynical approach.
Well, it's very true though, Phil. And that,
yeah, I mean, you know, this marvelous cynical, but they're not going to get their face on the Wheaties box, will they? Look, America cares about its athletes.
Well, if you care so bloody much about your athletes, why don't you bend over and turn a television set on every now and again? God knows people in your country are used to bending over for less, aren't they, when they're...
Okay, now I know you're a nice guy. You're getting...
I'm getting under your skin, am I?
Yeah, a little bit, okay.
Well, the point is, turn the TV on. Watch your athletes. They're depressed at no one's watching it because of the horrible coverage that NBC's doing. This obviously makes the athletes very upset to the point that they don't care how well they do as no one's watching. But even though NBC does such a piss-poor job...
And I'd ask you to watch your language, if you don't mind, Carl.
I'm sorry?
If you wouldn't mind watching language.
All right, well, it's NBC does such a bad job, even though they're doing such a bad job, suffer through it. Suffer through Bob Costas. Suffer. Try to keep your dinner in your stomach when you're listening to Al Troutrigg, and watch the games.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Tustin on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Yes.
This is Marie Lentz in Tustin.
Yes.
And I just heard what
who is this, please?
I'm sorry?
Who am I speaking with? I'm Carl Misla. Who am I speaking with?
I'm Marie Lentz.
All right, Marie, this is Carl Misla in Sydney, Australia. Go ahead.
Well, it really hurt me.
I'll do that, Carl, if you don't mind, Carl.
All right.
Go ahead, man.
It hurt me to hear the negative comments that were said.
Because
we support our athletes 100%.
Well, a lot of the athletes are thinking about just going in the tank.
Well...
And I
really can't believe that.
Well, I'm saying that from the standpoint that no one is enjoying your performance. You hang your head, you want to go back to your room and just lay there on your bed and stare at the ceiling. Just watch the fan go around and around because there's no one watching you. How much of the Olympics have you watched, Marie, dear?
I disagree with what you're saying, and I have watched it quite a bit.
Have you watched a lot of it?
I have, but the coverage has been so poor.
Oh, it's horrible.
That it's frustrating.
Someone, and I really think someone should take Bob Costas and drown him. Don't you agree? Push his head underwater.
Well, I don't know who's in charge of that.
Well,
Bob
Costas has been butchering it. And he's horrible, of course. He's always horrible.
Bob Costas is horrible?
Oh, he's always horrible. He's always, always terrible.
Well, I don't know about that. We have had better coverage in the past.
Well, I remember ABC did it. Was fantastic with Jim McKay and all those. ABC always did a fantastic job. But, you know, times have changed.
Well, you know, NBC put up a lot of money. And Sydney, Australia, and NBC put up a lot of money. And Sydney bent over and spread. And NBC couldn't help but go ahead and stick it in.
Okay, could you please use some other...
I'm awfully sorry, but that's the point that I'm trying to...
Just use some other way of...
I'm a writer, I'm a newspaper writer, I'm very hard bit. I have to meet a deadline, and I drink.
Well,
forgive me, I do drink.
Let me...
You been drinking now?
I stopped. There's a pub. You have to understand, Phil, it's almost 10:30 in the morning here.
Yeah, 10:30 in the morning.
Well, I get going early. Yes, ma'am.
May I make a suggestion?
Please do.
Would you please stop being so negative and try and be a little positive?
Well, but the problem with the Americans is negative because they know American people would rather watch Survivor than
watch
them.
That isn't true. That isn't true.
Well, if you can get up out of your chair and turn the channel to whatever channel you get the Olympics on.
It's NBC.
What channel is that, dear?
Channel 4.
That's Channel 4 in America.
In California.
Then watch that and try and give them some support. But I'm sorry. I have had a cocktail.
All right. Thank you very much, Marie, for your call, okay? Bye-bye. Here's Richmond on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Richmond, hello.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
I just
have
to be listening on the way home from the store.
If you're going home from the store, dear, this is called Ms. Lynn, Sydney, Australia, dear.
Yes. Yes, I was just commenting. I don't agree with most of what you said.
Well, I'm over here. I'm seeing it with my two bloodshot eyes, and I can tell you.
Well, I know, but I'm sitting here, and I know how many people are watching the Olympics.
I agree
that NBC does not do the job that ABC did with Tom McKay.
Everybody together.
Agree with that.
All together now. NBC blows. All right?
Yeah,
one,
well,
two,
I
okay,
know, but
come
I,
on.
As
one,
far
two,
as the
three.
Athletes go, we
NBC.
Support them 100%.
Well, the athletes don't know that because what they're doing is they look at the paper, they see the TV ratings, and they see how well Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is doing. And they go back to their rooms and talk about leaving. They talk about wanting to walk off.
Let me just say this very quickly, without you.
But are they really saying that they want to leave?
They're talking about going back to America. Yes.
Can I say something?
Who is this here?
I cannot. This is
who's
Richmond,
speaking?
Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia. Go ahead.
I cannot believe that an athlete who spent 4, 6, 8 years for this dream would turn around and drop it all because they feel like they're not getting the TV viewing audience.
Right,
I'm
but
sorry.
Why,
they do it for themselves.
But wait,
I would do it for myself.
Well, darling,
there's
also something else they're doing it for. It's the commercial endorsement, you see.
Okay, so what you're saying is...
Then they've lost the whole side of what it's all about.
That's what I've been trying to tell them, but they won't listen to me. I was in a pub last night with some of the Americans who are going to be in the track and field. And
what are they? They having themselves a few beers?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. They've got it in the Olympics. So as I said, you have to do it for yourself. And they said, well, you don't even understand. We're doing it for the big, big money.
Well, then they shouldn't be there.
I see a majority of your American athletes drowning the depression in a pint of stout, and they usually beat me to the bars. I arrive now at 9:15.
You know, if that's true,
the American track
Richmond,
teams,
Virginia. If that's true,
yes, is it Richmond, Virginia?
I just as soon have them get on a plane and come back.
Absolutely,
they're there for the wrong reason.
You're hitting the bar at 9:15, and there are already track guys there at 9. Or
yes. And I said to the Olympic Village, I said, "Why are you opening the bar so early?" They said, "For the reporters." I said, "Well, you should let the athletes in there. It's ridiculous." So all of our track and field are in there bellying up to a pint of stout, 8:30 in the morning, blind, stinking drunk, at 8:30 in the morning. And I think that it's...
Well, I you know what? There's no way of verifying this.
Phil, I'm a reporter.
But you also say you've been drinking. Isn't that true?
Yes, I have.
Our track and field team has always been very strong.
Our track and field team has been strong?
Very strong.
Well, not anymore, darling.
Well, we'll wait and see.
You should
anyways,
walk,
I'm
but
signing
try to get
off.
Through
I'm
the coverage.
Saying, I'm behind the American
there you go.
Team
try to get through the coverage, darling. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Don't be condescending. It's.
I'm telling you. She'll watch her. But I really think NBC is difficult to look at because Costas. The name keeps reverberating in my mind like the dull thud of a church bell. And Costas. And I see him underneath water with my hands around his throat. You know what I mean? Underwater in a horse trough. I see Bob Costas's hair sort of flying about his head as he's underwater in a feeding trough, and my hands are around his throat. And I...
Okay, look, if you've been drinking, I'm going to give you the chance.
Get some coffee?
Yes. Mike, if you can... This guy's talking about strangling Bob Costas. This is where you get into your trouble. This is where you get into your problem when you book a guest. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here. Carl Misla, you're getting some... Carl is with us, a journalist. Are you used to getting people riled up like this? Because you've got a lot of people...
No, I'm not trying to rile anyone up. I'm simply saying the American athletes...
You've got a lot of people angry that you're extremely negative with your comments about the American athlete and...
Well, the American athlete, Phil,
Well, let me finish. About America's effort at the Olympics, we're leading the medal count, 31 total, 11 gold. The nearest guy to us is Australia with 25. The Russians ain't in the game yet.
The Russians are going to be in the game next week.
Yeah, next week it's going to happen is what you're saying, right?
And what I'm saying to you is very simply this. The Russians are going to be in the game. The Germans are going to be in the game. It's all well and good because of the fact that the Americans lead the competition. But having said all that, the American athletes are not up to it because they're depressed. The TV ratings are down, which means they will not get the commercial money that they wanted before. They won't get their face on a Wheaties box, will they? They're not going to get the Coca-Cola or the Pepsi-Cola and all these things. They're not going to get all that, and they're about ready to throw themselves into a wood chipper. I've seen American athletes.
Oh, come on.
Phil, I have seen your American athletes, because of the rotten support they're getting at home, ready to throw themselves into a canal, into a watering canal, throw themselves under the wheels of a tractor. You know the machine that tore the arms off of the boy in North Dakota?
Yes.
They're willing to throw themselves into that. And so,
what are you talking about? I think it's because you have made absolutely no secret of the fact that you hit the pub there in Sydney at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Phil, yesterday the Olympic Village security had to talk to the U.S. athlete, had to talk one U.S. athlete out of jumping into the old crock farm. He knew he would get the corporate endorsements.
All right, here is whatever that means.
I don't know either.
Here's Chesapeake on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
I just wanted to know which bar this guy's watching the Olympics from, because it's obvious he's not actually at the Olympics. He's just being a total idiot.
No, sir, I'm watching the Olympics, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're watching them, but you're not there, obviously, because you don't even have the facts on reporting on.
I know what time it is here. It's 10:37 in the morning on
drunk.
Friday.
Maybe. You're already drunk.
And what has that got to do with the price of tea in China?
Obviously, you're not. Your bosses should fire you because you're not reporting on the Olympics. You're sitting around drinking.
I'm watching American.
It like it's a joke. You're supposed to be doing a job.
No, sir. I'm watching American athletes making boobs out of themselves for no
reason.
Well,
obviously, you're not talking to them very much because you don't know who any of them are.
I'll tell you that the one boy, Kratzenberg, had shoe polish put in his goggles. Now, do you think that's respect?
You know,
I don't think it's respect.
I've been an athlete all of my life, and that's probably one of the funnier things I've heard of.
That's right. It's very funny, but it shows that they don't respect him. They think he's a clown. Now,
you're way off base there. Now,
Forget about whether I'm watching the Olympics. Are you watching the Olympics?
Absolutely.
Well, that's one of you. Because
not according to the TV ratings. You know what you're talking about.
Not according to the Nielsen overnight TV ratings that your country puts so much faith in. There isn't more than two or three you buggers a night watching the bloody Olympics. What you think of that? Not much, right?
I don't know what the ratings say. I've been watching them, and I'm supporting.
What are the athletes reading? Are they reading the paper?
They open up the paper. And they go, look at the ratings. Look at the state of the ratings. It's an abomination. And then they pass out.
I think you're missing that 100%. Yeah. I can't imagine that the athletes.
Well,
really
the truth
like
is,
that.
I'll say this. The truth is that the ratings are off.
It's because of Bob Costas and NBC. And all
there you're showing how really far off you are, because Bob Costas is a great, good
Bob Costas is a pipsqueak. It couldn't broadcast
well, he's
his
not
way.
Not a total blaming idiot like you. That's for sure.
Out of a wet paper bag.
You know that I can tell that you're drunk, and I'm not appreciating any of this.
I'm not drunk. I'm giving you the word.
You're drunk.
No, I'm not. I'm simply reporting the news as I...
Yeah, as you see it. Here's Chesterfield on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Good afternoon. I have a journalist for the last 20 years.
What paper do you work for?
I don't work for papers, okay?
Oh, you don't work for papers. You're the kind of journalist that don't get paid.
You need to be quiet for a second and listen, you drunk.
You don't get paid for what you do,
I'm going to tell you one thing.
Are you an internet writer, then?
My view is being balanced, accurate, responsible, and fair.
Internet writer. He doesn't get paid for what he does.
It's probably something you should be doing right now.
What's that? What?
Okay.
What?
Bar.
No, sir. I'm British.
Balanced, accurate, responsible, and fair, okay? You're not that. You're not a journalist. You're a disgrace.
No, sir. And, I am in Sydney. You're not. I am here reporting on...
You're reporting what?
I'm reporting, sir, on the
you
Olympic
need to get
Games,
sober.
The Olympiad.
You need to get sober.
You need to get a job that pays you rather than one that does not pay you.
I own two companies.
You're not a journalist. You're a guy that writes for the Internet, don't you? You post things on message boards as if it's the second coming of the Canterbury Tales.
Nope. 20 years as a journalist
in
the military.
Do you write... The military, sir?
That's right.
But there's no one in the military that can bloody well read. So who are you?
Okay, what is the point of...
Oh, maybe in Australia.
What is it?
In Australia, in Britain, the United States, is not one of those buggers that can actually read a newspaper,
You're drunk.
Sir, I am a journalist.
You're drunk.
And you are drunk.
You're drunk.
And you're not.
You're drunk.
And you're not. You're not. You're not. You're not. You're not. You're not.
You need to get off.
You need to get drunk. Yeah, you know, you really do. You need to loosen up your asshole a bit.
Okay.
Oh,
no. All right. Just watch the language, okay?
I don't have to take that.
Hey, he hung up on me.
Yes, he did. You got to watch your language. The guy really got angry with that language. Did you dump that? You didn't dump? Oh, great. Now I got to hear from my... Why did you do that?
What did I didn't know.
Why did you say that word? And my engineer didn't dump it. Do you know the problems I have with affiliates?
Are you yelling at me?
Yes, I'm yelling at you. Do you know the problems that I have with affiliates when it comes to language on this show?
Listen to you.
Yes, I'm angry now. You use the word like that and you're a professional journalist?
Well, I...
Oh, shut up. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Go ahead. Have they got a Starbucks there?
Have they got a Starbucks?
What a juice hound. Let me ask you something. Growing up in England as you did, every noon hour when you stopped off for a pint on your way to third grade, did you...
Now, that's wrong, because I suggest you have a drink yourself.
Yeah, I'll have a drink. When I get off my work tomorrow night, I'll have myself a beer. You put that word out over the air. I got affiliates on me about language, okay?
I'm sorry.
You're sorry. You're sorry.
Why don't you have your boy go out and get you a pint?
What boy?
The boy.
What boy? My producer?
Right, the boy.
He ain't the boy, and he's not going out to get me a pint. See, this is America. We don't drink on the job here. We don't stop off for a pint in the freaking pub.
Why don't you have him? He's your producer.
Yes.
Have him produce a pint. He can piss into a jar.
Okay, that's it. Get him out of here. All the stuff, all the hassle, all the, you know, slowly and inexorably, yes, but slowly crawling up the ladder. When you syndicate your radio show and you gradually add an affiliate here and you get another affiliate there, then you get into a major market, you get another station. And the language that guy just, we're on a new affiliate, man. You didn't dump that? All right, look, thank you, Carl Mizla. And everybody out there, watch the Olympics, okay? Bob Costas is great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Now it's time for Phil the Prophet, one of America's foremost conservative thinkers, one of the foremost conservative talk show hosts in America. Phil the Prophet is on the air. And now, Phil the Prophet, and you can call him at 1-800-449-8686. You can call him, but you may not get on because Phil's got some stuff to say, baby. Thank you, America. Thank you, and welcome to the Phil the Prophet Show. And I've got some stuff to say about the Olympics and the American basketball team. Hey, wait a second. I didn't know there were vocals in this.
But my city was gone.
Wow, this is even better than the bumper music. Okay. Now, I have got... That's so cool. Some stuff to say here about the Olympics. First of all, the American Olympic team... The American Olympic team almost lost to Lithuania the other night. Now, what I'm going to say here, I don't want anybody thinking that I'm a racist. This is what liberals do. They always like to call conservative thinkers racist. You know what a racist is? A racist is someone who wins an argument from a liberal. All right, now, I'm going to say this because some of my best friends are black. But I got to ask this question. We almost lost to Lithuania the other day. Why isn't Shaq O'Neal and Kobe Bryant there? I want to say something. There isn't a racist bone in my body. Some of my best friends are colored black, so I don't want any letters telling me predictably that I'm a racist, but I think the American Negro is basically gutless in the face of extreme competition. I think they lack the courage in a tough situation to be comfortable and secure around people who are different. Now, I think your average Negro for a job such as bellman, dancing with a parasol, or let's say playing some limited form of baseball, that's great. But not international, high-pressure basketball competition. Yes, I know we had Jesse Owens. But that was just running real fast. Your average Negro knows how to do that because of his experience running with a recently snatched purse. However, no, the American Negro is no good at basketball, and I think all of them ought to be just on rail cars serving cream of wheat. And that doesn't make me a racist. Okay, thanks a lot. Give us a call. Tell us what you think of that. It's well thought out. Pretty cool. I'm Phil the Prophet. What is wrong with our Negro? All right, anyway. So thanks a lot, Phil.
You're welcome.
Great. That was thought-provoking. And you know what? I don't believe there's a racist bone in your body, man.
Thank you.
Because what you say is well thought out. And a lot of these people jump on you, and, dude, you are my kind of guy. So what was I going to tell you about the other thing? That Oh, yeah, Jason Lee was in the My Favorite Weekend part of the L.A. Times today. I wanted to mention this only because I really like this guy as an actor, Jason Lee of Mallrats and of Dogma, and he's most recently appearing in Almost Famous. He's a really good actor. And he was also, I think, maybe one other Kevin Smith movie, I'm not sure of. He started out with Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck and Mallrats. Of course, Ben Affleck's career took off, but Jason has more, I think he's just Chasing Amy, does more interesting movies. Anyway, I don't know, but anyway, the guy's really good, but they had him in My Favorite Weekend, and I like to read My Favorite Weekend, because basically what that is what you like to do on a weekend, and they interview people who are relatively well-known to very well-known. Now, Jason's a Hollywood actor, and they asked him about his favorite weekend. And he said, it was very interesting. He said, well, my wife and I sometimes love to go to the L.A. County Museum of Art. We love to go and shop for vinyl, like at Moby Disc or places like that. Apparently, the guy collects vinyl. We also enjoy, says, my wife maybe will go out with friends on Friday night. I'm not one to go out and party much. I stay at home. I have a little studio, and I play guitar, because he works on music as well. And I thought it was really interesting. The guy, people you admire, you look for areas of commonality. And I was looking, well, that's kind of something that I have in common with him, because I really don't like to go out much. And my wife much more enjoys going out and partying with people than I do. And then I thought, you know, I had done a My Favorite Weekend. The LA Times had interviewed me about a year ago. And that's why I was reading. I says, well, look at what he does. He goes to the L.A. County Museum of Modern Art. He collects vinyl. He has a home studio where he does music. And I remember when the Times interviewed me and I did My Favorite Weekend, and I was thinking, sort of comparing them in my mind, because the only stuff that I talked about was eating. You know, in other words, this guy goes to art shows, plays guitar, and every single thing I did in my, well, here's where I eat, and then I eat again, and then at night I eat, and oh, yeah, we eat. all that was in my favorite weekend, the Phil Henry one, was we eat breakfast here, we eat lunch there. Here's another great place where we eat dinner. And then just before going to bed, we like to eat here. In the middle of the night, I get up and drive to this diner. And then in the morning, not only did I make myself look like a glutton, but when I put the we there, then my wife's included in all of that, you know. Another place where Marie and I like to belly up to the trough. I should have just said something like, a really neat thing that I've got, by the way, is a vinyl apron, kind of a napkin that I got in a Lillian Vernon catalog, and it's got that really nice green plaid. And, man, a great place to go and break out your Lillian Vernon apron, that huge bib. What is that thing? That lead-lined Lillian Vernon apron bib is the old spaghetti factory. And then I realized, you know, that whole thing that I did for them over a year ago was just about food, and here's a young guy who has a life. So, good for you, Jason. And you can see him in Almost Famous. Very good movie. And Kate Hudson's terrific, and that kid, I can't even pronounce his name, and if I try to pronounce his name, somebody's going to sue me or have me thrown off the air. It's spelled F-U-G-I-T. How do you pronounce that? Philip? Forget about it. That's the dude's name. I swear to God, F-U-G-I-T. I ain't even going to try to pronounce. Fugit, is that okay, or am I now fired? Ah, Fugit. Like a J. Fugit. Yeah, we do like to eat. So anyway, when I get home tonight, man, that's my wife said to me, well, see, on our vacations, it's not so much where we're gonna what we're going to do today. It's I'm planning our next meal, you know. That was a great lunch. What do we have for dinner? Let's see. So Maria, before I leave the house today, she said, I'm going to make some spaghetti and meatballs for the kids. I go, what about meatloaf? I mean, this was the whole conversation before I left. She's laying there in bed. She's looking at the ceiling with one hand behind her head. The fan going lazily. And sort of mosquito netting. And it's very romantic. And she's talking about mashing potatoes and making that crap. Okay, anyway. Well, I'll tell you guys that our Casino Night 2000 on November the 2nd, you can attend that if you give a phone call to Elizabeth Faust at the following number, 323-908-0011, extension 102, or mail a check to Post Office Box 3867, Hollywood, California, 90078. This is to the Casino Night 2000, Saturday, November the 4th, begins at 7. It's at the Museum of Flying at the Santa Monica Airport. That's located south of the 10 freeway at the east end of Santa Monica. And this is to benefit My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. It's a really, I think, a worthwhile event, and I hope that you guys can make it out there and join us for that. There's a special announcement I'm going to make about that, but I can't say anything about it right now. But when the time comes, I will. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.